It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year and going to give us the answer. Why is Rich Bisaccia no longer with the Green Bay Packers? Good afternoon, Jason.
I don't appreciate the false advertising, Homer.
What's false about it?
I don't know if I don't think I, like, I know the reason that he said.
Okay.
I mean,
well, it's kind of a tease. Whatever you tell us is what you know, so.
Yeah. Well, I know the reason he's not the special teams coordinator anymore is because he stepped down.
Correct.
But that is in my opinion, an insufficient answer.
I agree. And I was hoping maybe you'd get – one of my sources said he thinks he's going to college.
That would not surprise me, that getting back to his roots.
And it would explain how you could think about it a while, leave, and it's not like anybody can question. If he goes to another team, that means he got fired, right? Another NFL team.
Yeah, or, well, I mean, yes and no, right? Like, it could be, maybe, you know,
Okay. Maybe
we've got this all wrong. Like, maybe,
good.
Like, and again, this is purely conjecture. Because I haven't talked to Rich. I haven't talked to Matt LaFleur. Maybe he didn't like the direction things were going. Maybe he and LaFleur, despite the press release, maybe he and Matt weren't seeing eye to eye as much as they had previously. I have no idea. What I'm doing is illustrating the problem that you and I actually were talking about last night about an hour before this broke, which is when nobody's talking about anything, the void is filled by conjecture. And, you know, the fact that we are 38, now 39, since today's almost over, days removed from their season-ending loss to the Bears on January 10th, the timing is what raises red flags. Like, I would also say that the timing would, more so than not, say, I don't think he was pushed out. Because if you were pushing him out, you would have done it much earlier than this.
So you can get somebody else.
Correct. So for those that, you know, because I know when I tweeted this out and then when I wrote my story, you know, I got a pretty fair amount of engagement from folks. And then obviously on the show today, with you and Brian on, so we didn't take maybe as many calls as we might otherwise have done on it, but we got a bunch of texts, and, you know, they kind of ran the gamut, right? Like, some folks were like, oh, well, they finally did what they needed to do. They pushed them out. Well, maybe, but again, if I'm pushing somebody out, I ain't doing it now. I would have done it 2 weeks ago, and I wouldn't have done it, you know, with Goody getting up there and talking about how vital he is to the culture and how I think we've really improved on special teams in the 4 years Rich has been here. Like, you just don't do that. Like, so I don't think that this was a wink, wink, nudge, nudge firing. I really don't. Like, the timing makes it unlikely. But I don't know, again, don't know that for sure. What I would say, though, is this. Because I have talked to and texted with a bunch of players. We know how Aaron Rodgers felt about Rich Bisaccia. We know what Matt LaFleur had certainly said over the years about him. We heard what Goody said a couple of Wednesdays ago. Like, and the person that really convinced me that this is really how so many people inside the building felt was Zane Anderson, when I talked to him about this. I mean, that's a guy, he's what Lee Remmel would have called a ham and egger. Like, he just had to work his butt off just to stay on the roster every year. And he swears by Rich Bisaccia, and he believes...
What does he swear? What?
He swears by the he made me a better player, how straight of a shooter he is. I had somebody say, well, it's about time they got rid of someone who, you know, players like guys that don't hold them accountable. Well, maybe like high school players or college players or rec league players, and certainly some NFL and professional players, But, like, I think really good players want to be held accountable. They want you – you know, I always used to say this to Brad Lane, who was our program director for a long time and, you know, basically saved my career. I love the guy, and he's become a really good friend of mine. But the biggest thing for me with him was he gave me the tools to be better, right? That's what anybody who cares about what they do wants most. And sometimes those tools are delivered in a way that's saying, hey, this ain't good enough, and here's why, and here's what you need to do to make it better. And other times it's, hey, you're doing a really good job, but I have a couple things that can make you even better, right? And that's how Rich Bisaccia is. His guys swear by him.
I don't get that, because don't they realize they failed, or do they think their special teams were good, all the mistakes they had? I know players, yeah, I don't like to be bad. And so I guess maybe you have to rewrite all the time here that he wasn't bad, because it sure seemed like there were a ton of mistakes, but the players, from what you're saying, didn't see it that way, or they wouldn't have that opinion of him.
Right, but so here's the problem with, and look, the godfather of special teams rankings is one of my biggest mentors and cheerleaders, and you've had him on the show over the years, Rick Gosselin, who is, I mean, for me, he's like a god. Like, he did it the right way. He never...
Do people still believe his statistics are accurate? There's so many different statistics.
Right, but here's the problem. He finally retired. You know, he's not like you, who's just going to keep working forever. Like, he finally retired. And so the last couple of years, the Rick Gosselin rankings haven't been available. Now, other people have tried to replicate them. And you know, he's told me the recipe, which... I suppose eventually the girls will be out of high school and I'll be looking for things to do, and maybe I'll do the Rick Gosselin.
Well, give them to somebody else to do it.
So what it does, so the way Rick did this was, I don't know if there was 21 categories, but like 20-ish categories, right? And he would, and it was a really simple, I mean, he's the GOAT, like you are. But it was a really simple equation. And so what it was if you were the number one, let's use punting, gross punting average,
right?
Because Daniel Whelan led the NFL in that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the Packers would get 1 point for that category. And then that would put them in, and the goal was to have the fewest points when you added up these 20-plus categories. Okay.
And you would go from 1 to 32 now, right?
Right. So then my next example would be their punt return, which I think was 32nd.
Okay.
So now you got a 1 in one column, but you also got a 32nd place, and now you got 32 points for that. And while it was simple and it made sense and I love it, the problem, the flaw, if you wanted to call it that, and I would never say that to Rick, but the flaw would be that if you're really crappy in enough areas, it would basically wipe out whatever areas you were good in. And when I look at the Packers special teams under Bisaccia, for example, their punt cover and kick cover units were really good, and their punter was really good, but their field goal kicking this season was abominable.
Right?
Their punt return game was non-existent. Their kickoff return. And look, that's not, like, I still, and I know I've ranted about this, but it bears repeating. The fact that this team went with a punt returner, and I really still believe in Matthew Golden, by the way. This is not a slight on him at all. Like, this would be asking me to do maybe not organic chemistry, but writing something that I am completely incapable of writing, because the dude had played football before, but never in his football lifetime had he returned a punt until he got to the NFL. And Savion Williams, their kickoff return guy, was billed as the next Cordero Patterson. And I looked it up. He played 5 college seasons at TCU. through 5 years of college football, he returned 14 kickoffs, and they were all as a true freshman in 2020. So is that Rich Bisaccia's fault?
Yes.
That he has – no, it's Goody's fault.
There aren't other guys on the team that – I mean, you've followed this league for so long, whatever the team situation was. Nobody else
so
did
the question
that.
The question I would have.
You could have named four other guys on the team that they could have used that had way more experience, correct?
I'm not sure I could.
Oh.
Like Jaden Reed. Jaden Reed breaks his collarbone in week two.
All right.
Keyshawn Nixon declares himself too important to return kickoff.
Yeah, the last time I. Like, when's the last time you remember a player determining that?
Yeah, that was. Look, I would. And given his relationship with Rich Bisaccia, if it is as strong as we have been, as they both believe it is, Rich Bisaccia should be able to say, look, I don't want you returning every kickoff.
But with these injuries,
But I want you out there. I want you out there in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
I want you out there in close games. You don't have to return the opening kickoff for me of the game.
Right.
I don't need you to do that. But I need you to do it more often than zero.
So there's
right?
one option.
I mean, my God, they put Josh Jacobs volunteered to go back there in the playoff game, right? So, like, again, I think.
And you've never seen anything like that before in your life, in all your time following the NFL, right?
Yeah, I mean, the old story about Chucky Carr saying Chucky Hacks on 3-0 for the Brewers.
Yes.
You know, making declarations that you're going to do what you're going to do. There aren't many that I can recall, no. But, again, the issue with special teams is that, like, their field goal protection was horrible early in the year. You don't get a lot of credit for fixing it because that's the norm, right? You're not supposed to let kicks get blocked. So, hey, bravo after you had a field goal blocked and a loss in Cleveland and an extra point blocked and a tie in Dallas. Hey, congratulations. The rest of the year, you did what you were supposed to do, not get kicks blocked. Lots of teams go through the year without a single kick getting blocked. So, you know, you don't get a lot of points for that. And then when your kicker, I mean, they completely mismanaged the kicking situation.
Yes.
Right? Like once they knew that there was something wrong with McManus's quad, put him on IR, shut him down for 4 full weeks, say, look, we need you to make kicks in the playoffs. We'll figure it out, and we'll let, you know, Lucas Haversick postpone his substitute teaching gig so you could get healthy. And then we want you to be ready for the playoffs. Now, you could say that by the time the playoffs rolled around, dude had made like 29 kicks in a row. And then he goes out there in Chicago and misses 2 field goals at an extra point in a game that they lost 31-27. So, like, you know, Is that Rich Bisaccia? Like, I would argue it's Rich Bisaccia during the season when he allowed a veteran player to dictate.
Right.
Kind of like
Keyshawn. Well, no, I'd ask you, Jason, how many times have you said regarding Bisaccia, what is he thinking? What is he thinking? Not just because you're seeing stuff that you don't normally see. Right?
Yeah, I would say that the two situations we just highlighted would fall under that purview. But, like, you know, when Romeo Doubs is your best option for punt returner with his, you know, giant Great Gazoo protective helmet. And look, God bless Romeo for going out there, right? I mean, seriously, like a guy with a concussion history subjecting himself to the punt return job, I have a ton of respect for him to do that. But that's on Goody, too, that they didn't have, you know, like I remember when Tremont Williams was handling punt returns or Micah Hyde, right? Like Micah Hyde had like 3 returns for a touchdown in a single season. And it wasn't because he was the fastest guy on the team. I mean, he was really good at that part of the job, but it was also really blocked well. I can't speak to, you know, what do we think of their blocking units and their blocking schemes? Because I would have liked to have seen a competent return guy so I could have a better judgment of that. But again, the bottom line is that when you're talking about special teams, all you need is one monumental gaffe, and it doesn't matter if you did all the other stuff right and you protected the on field goals and extra points, but you get a punt blocked and nobody gives a damn about the other good stuff because you lost the game because you didn't get that part of the job done.
But wouldn't you say he had multiple gaffes? For the guy who was viewed as the best guy maybe in the NFL, was it when they hired him? Wasn't he thought of as the best special teams guy in the NFL?
I don't know about the best, but one of.
One of, all right. I'll take one of.
For sure one of them. And what I would say is that he did take over a dumpster fire, right? Like the way they lose that 21 NFC divisional game at home, I mean, they didn't score enough. They scored one offensive touchdown, but if I recall, the 49ers didn't score any. The block punt was a problem. They only had 10 men on the field for the game-winning field goal. That's why Maurice Drayton got fired, and it took Matt LaFleur forever to fire him, of course. But he came in, and things were better, but they weren't. Like, they went from being a dumpster fire to being like a small kitchen grease fire. It didn't turn into like this beautiful kitchen where everything was functioning properly.
As we like to say, better, yes. Good enough? No.
Correct. That's yes. Is that T-shirt made yet? Because I want one.
No.
Okay.
Because I'm usually better, but not good enough.
Not good enough.
Yes.
Exactly. All right,
How do you want history? How do you want history? I'm going to say the history was he was a disappointment. They brought him in as one of the best, and they were definitely not one of the best. And so, at that standard, which is appropriate, it was a disappointment.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was a colossal disappointment, but it certainly did not live up to, like, this. This was billed as this guy's going to come in and fix things. And look, his track record, and this is what, again, leads me back to how much of this is baked into the cake with the way they build their roster and Goody's mentality, which, again, there were probably five guys on this roster, Zane Anderson, Bo Melton, Nick Neiman, Christian Welch. Those are special to Aaron Mosby. Those are guys that are special teams guys, first and foremost. So give Goody credit. In the last couple of years, he has done better with saying, all right, we need to put an emphasis on that. But how much of it was institutional, the way we build our roster, we're never going to be great on special teams? Because I do think that's part of it. But again, whoever
you want
to blame
for. That's why
you
get one of the best, not to make them one of the best, but to get rid of the crap. And the crap still surfaced.
Yeah, I would say that if there's a spectrum and from 1 to 100,
yeah,
1 would be the worst possible failure and 100 is the dream scenario. You know, he's definitely on the minus side. He's behind the 50.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably on the 40-yard line where it wasn't crap, but it was certainly not what we thought it was going to be a touchdown, and instead you're kind of going for it on fourth down on the 42-yard line and getting stopped.
I'm not worried about replacing him because I just think like there are a million people out there. But
yeah, I mean, obviously, you know me, I'm not worried about it. But if I was a Packers fan, I'd be like, eh. And that's the problem with this timing. Like, it's just so, like, there were guys that you would say, okay, this guy's good. He's got a proven track record. And most of those guys are snapped up. I'm going to do a story tonight kind of outlining some of the possibilities. But again, like, it's basically A, it's guesswork, and B, like, do you want Chase Blackburn? He's the guy that got fired in December by the Rams. He's probably a sacrificial lamb, no pun intended. So maybe he actually is a decent coordinator.
I would consider him because their head coach is a crazy guy.
Yeah, I would too. I would, and it was that's the first guy that Sean McVay has ever fired in season. So that felt a little scapegoaty to me.
Yeah, I'd like to know, just as you assessed, let's look at the players and what was going on in his history. But yes, because of who that head coach is, I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah, all right. I'll join that club.
I always think of old guys. I don't know. Harbaugh, I said that, that's the people that have coached in college, or it's all about, taking the worst players on the team and figuring out how to get the best out of them and the least experience.
I think so.
Go ahead.
So the guy in had been in Pittsburgh with Tomlin for Danny Smith.
Yeah, he's 100 years old.
He's 72, which, you know, I know a lot of 72-year-olds.
That's too old.
Too old for some things, clearly. But I don't know, man. Right. Like, he's pretty good, and the Buccaneers wasted no time once he became available getting him. So that tells you something.
All right. Well, so you would say, I heard Tausch mention it. I saw it, too. The guy, special teams guy at Iowa, but he's no longer there. He's now at Penn State, I think. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. We're seeing, like, college head coaches head to the NFL ranks because they don't want to deal with all the headaches of college football today. So I wouldn't rule anything out, but if he just took that job at Penn State, I mean, how many is how it takes somebody who A, gets the blessing of whoever just hired him, and B, is comfortable enough to say, hey, this is too good of an opportunity. I'm sorry to do this to you. But, like, if you just took a job and then you bail on it before you've even coached it down,
not good.
I don't know if that'll happen or not.
No, I don't think it will happen. I think
I would not pin my hopes on
it. And they pay pretty well in college, I've heard.
Including the players.
Yes, everybody.
Yep.
All right, Jason, thanks.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.